Good morning, everyone. It is a good one, isn't it? Yeah. I'm not so sure now. It is a good morning, isn't it? Because it's the day in which God has given us life, and here we are together. And this morning I've got probably just a couple of very simple things I want to share with you, but being a preacher, it takes a long while to say it. I hope not. One of the words that we heard just read to us was, "Behold," or "look and see, the Lamb of God who bears away the sins of the world." I want to speak about that. I also want to speak just for a moment or two about the Spirit of God. This one who bore away the sins of the world is also the one who would baptize you and any believer in or by the Spirit of God. Not as some super thing, but I want to say that if you know who God is, it's because God has poured his Spirit out upon you, convicting or convincing you of sin, righteousness and judgment. That was a promise that Jesus had made prior to his death. So there's an incredible thing that's going on. And the person who was a bit of a forerunner of these things was John the Baptist, who wasn't Baptist, but he was just a believer who somehow or another understood who God was. You remember he was actually filled with the Spirit of God in his mother's womb? That's something, isn't it? An action of God. God at work in his great plan that began back before creation, and he worked out, God worked this plan, his purpose out in holy love, moment by moment. And I had someone speaking to me just the other day saying, "I can't understand why," and they had all these things about God, and I thought, neither can I. So, can you understand everything about yourself or somebody else that you know well? But does that change who they are? And God has revealed to us who he is. God is love. God is light. God is holy. So no thing that comes to you or to me or to any person will come with reactory bitterness or anything else. Just love, which is true through and through. So that's actually something I forgot to say. I belong to the Malang Church of Christ these days. Did you know that? They've collared me in. And I have enjoyed being collared in by them. It's a lovely little fellowship there. And I can tell you something this morning, they'll be praying for us here. And we'll pray for them there too as they share in worship together. I just want to read a few sections of scripture as some background to the reading that Bob brought to us this morning. The word of God came to John. This is John, the son of Zechariah, the one who came before Jesus. The word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, while in the desert. And he went into all the country around Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance with a view for the forgiveness of sins. And Luke, the writer of this gospel, whom John, the writer of his gospel, also refers to, he says this is what was said in the Old Testament way back there hundreds of years prior to this event taking place. It's the voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation. Wow. What would that be like if you were alive in the year 30 or something like that, and somebody actually revealed that to you? Here comes this man, John, and he cries out, he speaks out. We can read that in other places, and it's recorded of him that he's a voice crying out in the desert places. Something's coming into view now. We need to prepare for it so that when it comes, we'll be part of that great event. And for that to take place effectively within our lives, there needs to be this repentance, this turning in our thinking and understanding and our response to God's love towards us, turning from all our rebellion against that, and have a heart that is waiting for the forgiveness of sins to be revealed in a whole new way. Now, I don't know, but a lot of people rocked up that day to him, and here's some of the words that he said to them. Kind of thing you don't say in church on Sunday mornings. It says this: you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Don't begin to say to yourselves, we got a lovely family line that comes down through the churches. Oh no, we've got Abraham as our forefather. That qualifies us to fit into this new thing that's coming. Here we come, we'll get baptised for repentance. Yeah, good thing. John says the axe is already there at the root of the tree. It's going to come down. He speaks with them particularly about how they're to live. And it goes on, and Luke records the people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts whether John, this man who was speaking in this way, whether he were the Christ, the Messiah, the promised one, this great history they had of one who would come. In John's Gospel, it speaks of a prophet who was forecast before, of a king that would reign forever in a kingdom that would never end, was spoken of, and Messiah, God's promised anointed one that would come. Is that John? Is he the bloke? And John responds again, I baptise you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, whose thongs I'm unworthy to untie. He will baptise you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And he goes on and speaks about a fork that was there to throw the grain that had been ripped up into the air. The chaff would blow away, the grain would fall to the ground and be kept, and the chaff would be burned up. Fire, baptism in fire. Do you long? I ask this of each one of us here this morning. Do you long for God to burn up our grot? To get rid of that that spoils you and spoils me and works out terribly with others. Spirit of God is going to come. We sit here this morning because he has come. In John's Gospel, we read these words. there came a man who was sent from God. Can you hear that? It wasn't just someone coming. There came a man who was sent from God. What did Luke say? The word of God came to John. How couldn't he come? He had the word of God in his heart. Something had been burned in there and revealed to him. The word of God came to John. There came a man who was sent from God whose name was John, and he came as a witness. This is John, the gospel writer, telling us this. He came as a witness to testify or to tell out concerning that light who was coming into the world. You know John chapter 1. So that through him, maybe through John as he brought this word, or maybe through Christ as he came as the light, through him all might believe. John himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to that light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Jesus came into the world. I was saying, these people back there in maybe 30 AD or something or other, what did they hear? Who were they in great expectation about? Did they want someone to conquer the Romans? I don't want to go into all of that. But when Christ comes, when he comes to you personally or corporately as a church fellowship, when he comes to me personally, what is our expectation and then the actual happening? What is going on? What are we engaging with when that event takes place? You see, they had an idea of forgiveness. You know, personally, I presume that forgiveness is an incredibly wonderful gift that liberates not just a person, but a person's conscience. David, the psalm writer, said on one occasion, "Thou didst forgive the guilt of my sin." Now, the guilt works down here somewhere, doesn't it? Sin, we blame everyone else for it anyway, or try and handle it however we can. But God forgives the guilt of our sin. And so in the wonder of God's mercy and grace, through the Mosaic covenant especially, there was this sacrifice system that persons of faith could come to and offer their gift, whether it be a lamb or a goat, or a bull, or if you were poor, just a little dove or a turtle dove. They could bring this along to the priest and confess their sin, and the priest would say to him, "In the name of God, your sins are forgiven you." And on the great day of atonement, a special day, partway through our year, but a special day, that Day of Atonement, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies in the presence of God and offer first sacrifices for his own sins and then a sacrifice, an atoning sacrifice, a sacrifice that was given to God for that whole nation. Somewhere, at some level, that thinking was in their minds, and so they knew that God was the God who would forgive, but they couldn't just rock up. God spoke through the prophet on numbers of occasions and said, I hate those sacrifices where people just rock up and say, ah, she'll be right, I'll give my gift. So there's that understanding of how forgiveness may be able to come to a believing person that these people had. But there was this new covenant we've shared at the table, haven't we? This new covenant, this new opening out of where we discover the only place of the forgiveness of sins lies. Hebrew writer says it's not with the blood of sheep and goats and lambs, but it's with the precious blood of Jesus that forgiveness has been brought to the world. And these old sacrifices that had passed away in the Hebrew writer's time there, these always looked forward to this day. And we now look back to that day. And I'm amazed as we sing that lovely hymn of Getty's there, beneath the cross of Jesus. No sentimentality in that. It was a yuck, awful, terrible place. But we have no other place in which we can live. That's where our life began. That's where it is now. And that's where it ever will be. And one day we'll see the glory of it in a full and wonderful way. John says, concerning this one who is to come, here he is in the middle of all that understanding. Here he is. And he says, this one whom I said he comes after me, has surpassed me or has higher authority of me because he was before me in all things, I understand John to be saying here. From the fullness of his grace we've received one blessing after another. And then down in verse 19, if you want to follow this in the Bible, it's all written in there. It's wonderful. Verse 19 says, this was John's testimony. This is what he was telling the people there that day. And already the leadership of the Jewish people was out there to try and find, is this the right thing that this bloke's bringing? Who is he? Where's he come from? And they're starting to check him out. So these people sent by the priests and Levites to ask him, you the prophet? Christ? Elijah? All things that we won't have time to look at that are spoken of back in the Old Testament. And John replied those words that we read before, I'm the voice of one calling in the desert, make straight the way for the Lord. John had one thing in mind. At this particular point, he hadn't even consciously understood what that thing was. All he could see was that he was the one spoken of in the Old Testament who was going to come before Messiah, before Christ came, and he was going to open up the way, prepare the way, so that Christ could come into those people who had him in their whole cultural background and understand and receive him. Well, the next day it says, that's where Bob began that reading, the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and he said, look, the Lamb of God. You see the little picture on the screen earlier on, did you? Lamb sitting on the back of the sheep. The Lamb of God. That's not the whole picture of the Lamb of God. It's the Lamb of our paddocks. But the Lamb of God who takes or bears away the sin of the world. That's the one who comes after me. That's the one that I've been waiting for to be revealed to us. And he goes on and he says, he gives this testimony, I saw the Spirit come down from heaven like a dove upon him. This must have happened a few days before. Came down upon this one. I wouldn't have known him except that the one who sent me, that's God, a man came from God. You remember we said? The one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain, he will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And he says, I've seen, and I tell you, this one is the Son of God. And so we go to the next day again. It says, the next day John was again there with two of his disciples. Can you imagine that situation? Come on. You know, some of you older fellas, ladies, they sit inside with the heater on. The fellas sit outside the post office. Actually, that's old-fashioned stuff. They don't do that anymore. It's too cold. You know how we stand around, don't we? And two of John's disciples, because he had followers, they're there with John, and I wonder what they were talking about. The Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. Where do we find that in the Old Testament? What's that to do with a lamb? That has to do with sacrifice. Well, he's there standing with two of his disciples, and when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. And those two fellows went and followed him. Followed the Lamb of God. Followed him. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus, and turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? What do you want? What's stirring down within you that you would follow me? And we could go on and read what unfolds from that, and generations have gone past, and here we are today because of this Lamb of God. I want to ask a really simple question. It says here, look and see the Lamb of God who bears away the sins of the world. Can I ask this really simple question for you to think about for 15 seconds? How do you bear your sins? And I ask this question, how does Jesus bear your sins and mine? And the sins of the whole world. How do you bear sins? The psalmist says on one occasion, your arrows have pierced me, your hand has come down upon me. Because of your wrath there's no health in my body, my bones have no soundness because of my sin. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. My wounds fester and are loathsome because of my sinful folly. I'm bowed down and brought very low. All day long I go around mourning. My back is filled with searing pain. There's no health in my body. I'm feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. All my longings lie open before you, O Lord. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pounds, my strength fails me, even the light has gone out of my eyes. Have you ever experienced that? It's the story of a man trying to bear his sins. You can't cure it by taking drugs. You can cover it up. And how then does Christ bear my sins? We can look at the cross and see alone there, perhaps with God's great goodness and gentleness, he hides from us the bulk of what is involved in bearing our sins. See, sin destroys, it's destructive. It's acidic and just burns into our very person as a human being and destroys. And you'll have heard that great cry that Jesus cried aloud. It says there was a loud cry, and here the psalmist again is helpful for us because he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? If you try and bear your own sins, you'll think God has forsaken you. Why are you so far away from saving me? So far from words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry out to you in the day, but you do not answer. By night, and you're silent. And he goes on and he speaks there of trust. This is King David. Trust. But he understands the strain and pain of being a sinner, trying to bear his own sins. I'm a worm, not a man, scorned by people, despised by people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Is this speaking about King David? Yes. This is speaking about Messiah, Psalm 22. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. You've heard the cry of the people around the cross, haven't you? Ah, ha, ha, let him bring himself down off there. He's bearing our sin. That's how you bear it. No, that's how he bears it. He takes it to God to deal with. You brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. Here we are talking about the Sunday school children. I was a little Sunday school kid in this church. Many bulls surround me, strong bulls, roaring lions, tearing their prey, opening their mouths wide. I don't want to go on any more in there about those things. But if we won't go into those things, what will we understand when God says, I have taken your sins away? I find this an incredibly amazing thing, that the Father's love is such love that it is. Such love that it is. That he would actually send Christ. And you see, it's the Father who lays on him the sins of us all. He takes you and I and he lays our sins upon his Son. I find that something difficult to understand. It's a mystery. But I believe it is so. This is what God has done. And in Zechariah is that amazing word that says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd." This is God speaking. God's shepherd is Christ. "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is close to me, my peer." Who's the peer of God the Father? His Christ, our Christ. This one close to me, and he's going to bring this sword of judgment against this one who stands there, and he says, "Strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered, and I will turn my hand against the little ones." And he goes on there and speaks of judgment that was for that day, but it's something telling of a greater day, where then this shepherd in resurrection glory will bring many sons and daughters home. "Here am I and those whom you have given me." How great that love that will smite the shepherd, God bearing sin's consequence in himself. As the Corinthian writer says, Paul says, "He who knew no sin became sin." Guilt, anguish. And that word there in Isaiah 53, that amazing word, "It was the Lord's will to crush him." Can you understand love that's like that? "It was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer." And when the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, you remember the lamb that was slain, taken in for the atoning sacrifice, and the other one on whom the hand of the high priest was laid and the sins of that nation were placed there, and that was tossed out into the garbage heap. This is our Christ. Well, when the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring, those who come, prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. Is that our God? Is that the Lamb of God, bearing away the sins of the world? And there on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God poured out in that new way, that promised way, God's reign coming in upon those people and spreading out across the earth. And here we are, right round the other side of this globe, having had that gospel preached to us, having heard that wonder of the nature of the love of the Father and the nature of the love of his Son and the wonder of that poured out Spirit coming and awakening us to these wonders. Can you go home today and say something as simple as this? "He, God, has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness, and he has taken you with me and with others and transferred us into the kingdom of the love of his Son." Will there be any accusation against you still? Yes. You'll be accused before you leave this building. And that will come and that will attend to your conscience, trying to break down something as simple as your belief in what God has done for you and what God has done for me and what God has done for that person who puts you on. You have been transferred and you have been placed in the Father's family, and nothing can change that. And we'll pray and we'll ask the Spirit of God who dwells amongst us. We don't have to ask him to come. We'll ask him to freshly again show us these things. So let's pray. Father, we thank you that in your heart before time, before creation, you had a mind to have a family that would be holy and blameless before you, people of love, and people rescued out of darkness, people redeemed, all those words we know. But Father, people who have come to love you out of that great love for which you have loved us. Father, we thank you that your Spirit has brought these things into view for us, and we pray together for one another, for me and for those alongside of us and for those in our families and community. We pray that we would not quench what your good Spirit wants to reveal to us. So, Father, it's with joy that we've met here today. It's with joy that we think on these things. It's with joy that we discover time and time again as we share together that although sin seems so massive, you have already finished its place of power and set us free. Help us to walk in that today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.